Rise and shine, people. It's time for Hour 2, the Daily Tip, here on the BetMGM Network. And we have a loaded show. I'm ready to roll. We've got our college football questionnaire that we're filling out in this segment. All of the big questions. Who's going to win the Natty? Who's going to win the SEC? Who's going to win the Big Ten and more? Then at 7:20, we stick with baseball because it is baseball season as well, folks. We give you our daily baseball plays. And then at 7:40, our draft series rolls on. And this one might ruffle some feathers. Most passionate fan bases in college or pro sports. Who should be on our big board? You tell us. It's all coming up next here on the Daily Tip. All right, Jenks, so we have a lot of questions for college football, so I'm going to get to that pretty quickly. But first, I just wanted to see your eyes roll back in your head for just a second, because have you seen the latest headline for Jordan Hudson and Bill Belichick? Apparently, Bill Belichick's 24-year-old girlfriend is trying to trademark the phrase gold digger. She wants to use it in jewelry. TMZ found this out. That the company that Bill Belichick owns, that is run by Jordan Hudson, just filed for this on August 25th. So if you want to be labeled as a gold digger, Jordan Hudson's jewelry brand will have you covered. Are you going to be buying some of this for Catherine?
I've already purchased it. Yes, of course. Obviously. I saw that this morning, actually, on the way to work. I was like, ugh. God, and she's trademarking these other phrases as well. And some of them are, they're sort of like Taylor Swift, not sayings, but it'll be some sort of phrase, and in parentheses, it'll say Bill's version. Like, she's doing that as well. It's like, oh my God. Okay. I mean, at least she admits it. She's already bought up all sorts of real estate in Chapel Hill worth millions of dollars, and now she's going to trademark this and start making jewelry. Like, she's playing this to a T perfectly. As much as I can't stand it, and as much as it drives me crazy, she's making herself a multimillionaire out of this, which is probably the goal.
Yeah, I mean, if you're a gold digger, that is the goal.
Yeah,
I feel like there should be a higher standard for trademarking things. Like, do you know what I'm saying? I feel like there are random, very common phrases that people try to trademark, and you're like, you can't own that.
Right.
Like, when people are like, the is going to be trademarked by Ohio State, and you're like, the? That's one of the most common words that people use.
Yes.
You can't have that.
No, you cannot. You know, I'm not going to get charged every time I say the or something like that. Like, it's so dumb. And there was a trademark case that was kind of interesting that was finally settled, I think it was a couple months ago, where Troy Aikman, when he played, wore the number 8, and he trademarked 8 or a version of that for a line of apparel or products, whatever it is. And then Lamar Jackson, who wears 8, tried to sue Troy Aikman and get back that patent or trademark, whatever it was, and it didn't work. So they ended up just dismissing the case because Troy had already done it years and years ago.
Mm.
And I don't know, it wasn't like, okay, if you say the number 8, you can't use the number 8, but there were certain uses of the number that Troy Aikman locked up years and years ago, and Lamar couldn't get his hands on it.
Yeah, it feels like you shouldn't be able to trademark numbers.
It's crazy.
Like 8? Like, what are the kids at school supposed to be like? 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 9.
Like, what? Careful. You owe me some cash. Yeah. It's crazy.
I'm glad I don't work at that office. Like, imagine, like, some of the dumb things I get. All right.
I'm glad I don't work at North Carolina.
Ugh.
For now.
Man. I have enjoyed dancing on their graves, and I hope it continues during the season. I know their win total is not very high, but I will say this. Bill Belichick does know how to coach himself some football. So we'll see for USC. We'll see if any of us have them as our dark horse. All right, so here's what we're going to do. Before the season starts, so nobody in the middle of the season can be like, I picked them to go to the national championship. No, you did not choose Georgia Tech to go to the national championship. This is for transparency And this is so you know who we like going into the college football season before week one even starts. So we're going to go around the room, and everybody's going to make their picks for who wins the ACC, Big Ten, Big 12, SEC, surprise playoff team, Heisman Trophy, and national title winner. So we'll start in the ACC, and I feel like it might be a clean sweep here. We know Clemson is the favorite to win the ACC, and that's who I'm going with. Clemson! You got to put that P in there if you want to sound like you're from the area. But I think people forget that Dabo Swinney was once at the pinnacle of college football. And if we're talking about how coaching matters, Dabo Swinney is one of the best. You know, there was a time where we were saying he was the next Nick Saban. He has fallen a bit from that. But now that he's using the transfer portal, he has a veteran quarterback. He has an easy schedule. And if they can knock off LSU at home the first game of the season, I think they are well on their way to having a great season. I do think they win the ACC. So, Jenks, are you all aboard the Clemson train?
I'm going with Clemson. Go Tigers. Death Valley's tough. Real tough. Yeah. I mean, Cade Klubnik, you know, he could win the Heisman Trophy. They're rock solid in the trenches. He's got most of his offensive line coming back. That schedule is just cake. They're going to beat LSU in the first game of the season. And Brian Kelly's going to be on the hot seat. So, I'm with you on the Tigers.
All right, Denton, more of the same?
It is going to be more of the same. I didn't realize the P thing worked. Pause. But I'm taking Clemson.
Jenks, you can testify to that, right? Does Catherine say it like Clemson?
She hates Clemson. Hates.
Clemson. Well, that wasn't the question. Does she say it like that, though?
I don't know if she says that. Probably, she probably does not say it out of spite. Like, I'm not going to sound like you yokels. And she's from South Carolina.
Ask Rob Brown the next time you see him. I feel like he would know the answer. Because I've heard people say Clemson. All right, Double D, you like Clemson as well?
Yeah, but I think it's actually going to be closer than people think. I think there's some solid teams in the ACC. Once again, the top half. The top four teams are pretty darn good. But, yeah, at the end of the day, Dabo gets his ACC title again.
Yeah, I think Clemson sometimes cakewalks or sleepwalks. Like, they'll always lose to somebody they're not supposed to, like Syracuse on, like, a Friday night. So maybe that's a sabotage factor. All right, next up, Big Ten. I'll lead the way here, and I think I'm the only one on this train because I understand people think James Franklin can't win a big game. But Penn State has a very favorable schedule, and I do think this is the year where they actually get it done as far as winning the Big Ten. This is the best team they've had in quite some time. They've got a quarterback returning, and plus, this is a team full of NFL talent. I know you could say that about Ohio State as well, but I'm going with the Nittany Lions. Jenks, pick a side here and choose wisely, my friend.
Yeah, I think Penn State's going to win it as well. I really do. I think Ohio State is a touch overrated just because they're working in a new quarterback. They lost a ton of NFL talent, and I know it's plug and play for those guys, but also when you're working in a couple of new coordinators as well, that's a lot of moving parts. This is Penn State's year, and we know that they brought in Jim Knowles. We know they have all of their offensive stars or most of them returning. I feel like this is the time when the Nittany Lions get it done. So, yeah, I'm on Penn State too.
All right, so enough with this echo chamber nonsense. Den, let's stir the pot a little bit. Who do you like? I know it's not Penn State.
Penn State this, Ohio State that. I'm going Oregon. I like Dan Lanning. He's my guy. Dante Moore sat last year in an era where nobody sits. I think Oregon is going to surprise people. I got him at plus 350.
I will say, ain't nobody talking about Oregon. I feel like people don't want to talk about him. All right, David, this hurts my heart to see your answer here, but explain.
I might vomit in my mouth, not going to lie about this. I'm taking Ohio State, and it's just the pure factor of they have the two best players probably in college football this year, one on the offense, one on the defense. I think the talent around Saban will make up for his lack of experience. And once again, typical Penn State fan, I'll see it when I believe it. If they win the Big Ten title, awesome. I'll be so happy, and I will dance around this studio till my heart's content, but I've got to see it to believe it, so I'm going to go with Ohio State.
That hurts. We need a miracle.
A
like, Yeah, if Taylor Swift can get engaged, Penn State can win the Big Ten. That's what I'm saying. All right, let's go to the Big 12. All right, so for me, I was impressed with what I saw from Iowa State in the first game of the season. Maybe it's a bit of recency bias, but Rocco Becht was making those big-time throws. Like, listen, the stats didn't jump off the page, but that was a sloppy game. And listen, Matt Campbell has been a great coach for Iowa State. Somebody who's led that team to an 11-3 record last year. I think it was a win in the Pop-Tarts Bowl. I'm going to go with Iowa State here in a very crowded Big 12. Jenks, who do you like here?
I'm going to go with Arizona State. I mean, this is going to be one of the more competitive conference races in the country, but I think Sam Leavitt is probably the best quarterback in the conference. At least that's the way I feel. I love Kenny Dillingham. He's a hell of a head coach, and I think Kanye Udo is going to do a nice job of filling in for Cam Scadaboo, who was unbelievable last year. You can pick a lot of different teams. I like Iowa State, too, but I'm going with the Sun Devils.
Ah, moment of silence to remember Cam Scadaboo's highlight reel. Like, man, I love that. He was amazing. Like, not that he's off this earth again, but one of the college football, like, legends that you'll remember, like, 10 years from now for, like, a trivia question. All right, Den, who do you like?
I mean, he's stuck in the New York Giants system. He might as well be off this earth. I'm going to echo what Jenks said. I'm taking Arizona State plus 500. I think they have the best quarterback right now in the Big 12, so I'm rocking with the Sun Devils.
David, who do you like?
This is for you, Jenks. Guns up, baby. Texas Tech.
Yes.
I love what Coach McGuire's doing down there. I actually think their starting quarterback, Morton, if he stays healthy this year, might actually be the best quarterback in the Big 12.
All right.
Gross.
Let's move on to the SEC. I'm going to go with Texas here, but it looks like Jenks is probably going to have Texas as well. Like, I can talk about Texas all day, but it's not going to have the passion that Jenks will
have. I mean,
Jenks, tell us why Texas is winning the SEC.
They're the most talented team in the conference. This is their year. They're going to have the best defense maybe in the country. I think this is easily going to be a top five defense, and they get an upgraded quarterback. So I know people get tired of the Archipe, but I really think he is that good. And also, it's going to be a little bit of a down year for Georgia. I wouldn't sleep on Alabama. I think Alabama is going to be really good, but I'm going with Texas.
Yeah, not a shocker there. All right, Denton, looks like you're going for some longer odds here.
Yeah, I am going to go Alabama. I got them at 4-1. I think Kalen DeBoer in year number two in Tuscaloosa is going to have a nice upgrade. They were a good team last year. I think they're a better team this year, so I like Alabama 4-1.
Speaking of longer odds, David said, hold my beer. We're going even longer. David, who do you like?
Once again, it comes down to one thing for me. I think Lenora Sellers is that dude. I'm taking South Carolina to win the SEC.
I'll be rooting for them. It's a very easy team to root for. I love Shane Beamer, so I'll be rooting for you as well. And plus, those odds are pretty nice at 18-1. All right, next up, surprise playoff team that must have odds of at least 5-1 or longer. Jenks, it looks like we're going to be on the same page here, and I think a lot of this is schedule-based. But I think for most of us, it's a team that plays in a big conference that kind of slides in, because we saw a team like Indiana last year slide in. So I'm going to go with Illinois as well. If you look at their schedule, my goodness, is it soft. Maybe there's some surprises in there that I am not prepared for. Like, maybe that game against Duke is going to be tougher. We'll learn a lot about them on September 20th when they go on the road to Indiana. But Illinois with Luke Altmaier, I think this is an Illinois team that can certainly surprise some people. So I'm on Illinois. Jenks, you want to add anything there?
Yeah, I think you're right. The schedule is manageable, and also this is a team that gets their starting quarterback returning, and again, like, they welcome, what, USC and then Ohio State. USC I don't believe in, and Ohio State, they'll probably lose that game, but this is a very navigatable schedule. So yeah, I'm with you on there.
All right, we got to hurry up. So Den, give us your surprise team, Heisman Trophy winner, national champion.
Yeah, I'm selfish with a surprise team. I got Florida at 7-1. I got Nebraska at 5-1. I got Georgia Tech at 7-1. Did I design this segment so I could put three surprise teams in here? Yes, I did. I like DJ Lagway winning the Heisman at 18-1, and then my national champion is Clemson. You get him right now at 9-1 on BetMGM, but your boy was smart, pulled the trigger early. I got him at 13-1.
All right, David, quickly. I want to hear your surprise team because it's a good one.
Surprise team is Navy. I think they go undefeated this year. Shock and upset Notre Dame this year. My Heisman, I already talked about him, Lenora Sellers. I think he's that guy. And, of course, national title, Penn State.
I'm going to go national champion Texas. Jenks, are you going with Texas?
Yeah, you know where I'm going. Yes, I'm going with Texas. Obviously, yes.
Even though I'm going to say Heisman Trophy winner, I'm still going to go Cade Klubnik. I don't think that you have to win a national championship. I think his numbers are going to be better. We got to get to break. Baseball is next. Welcome back. It is Thursday, August 28th. And Jenks, I'm really trying to stay focused and look at these baseball lines, but it's really hard when we have all these college football games popping off. Like, we have a relatively big slate tonight. I didn't realize that there was more than two games tonight, because obviously my Wolfpack are playing against ECU, 14-point favorites. Don't know how that's going to go. But even tomorrow on a Friday, we have some big ones: Auburn and Baylor, Georgia Tech, Colorado, and then of course going into the weekend. I don't know if your skin is just tingling yet, but we get Texas and Ohio State. And we have some other big ones. Here locally, they're trying to pump us up for Tennessee and Syracuse. And I'm like, all right.
Oh, wow.
So I'm probably not going to watch that one. Do you feel nervous yet? It feels like we've been waiting for so long. And we have been talking about Texas message boards. We have been talking about off-season practices. We have been talking about the rumor mill surrounding Arch Manning in the next couple of years at Texas. What are the nerves feeling like right now on a Thursday?
Yeah, I'm starting to get nervous. Because obviously I'm going to have a huge impact on the game. You know, how I perform. Talking we. I'm not going to be there. But I mean, I got my gear coming in today. The lovely Catherine ordered some stuff for Saturday, because we're going to be sitting outside. It's going to be gorgeous. Sitting outside in nice fall weather, watching football, it's hard to get better than that. But yeah, I'm getting nervous. I mean, normally, first game of the year, you get a patsy, right? You're like, let's see how the team looks. We'll cruise to a 20, 30-point win, and then we'll ease into the schedule. And here it's like, guess what? You're going to the Shoe. So it's exciting, but also a little nerve-wracking. There's no easing into it. It's coming. But, yeah, I'm getting nervous. I think we're going to win. I really believe it. But also, I was saying earlier, it's still Ohio State. So could we lose? Yes, absolutely. So I am very nervous. And I'm going to be a wreck during the game. So I'm trying to enjoy my week, because I'll be pacing and going crazy with every play. But that's part of the fun.
As a bettor, I'm scrolling, and it, never ends. I think this many options is almost paralyzing.
Yeah.
I feel like you almost just have to pick a couple games and be like, listen, I'm going to dig deep on this game and try to find something I like, as opposed to looking down the entire slate. Because, you know, we've been in baseball mode for quite some time. Mm-hmm. Even before that, it was basketball mode, where there's only a certain amount of teams in the NBA. So now it's back to scrolling through and who's going to be making me a bunch of money today? So I think a good place to start is look for line movement, because I will say on some of these smaller games, if you see significant line movement on a Kennesaw State game, there's probably something going on. And I do think football, as opposed to baseball, I definitely pay attention to line movement more. Maybe that makes me a square, but Jenks, since baseball is a daily sport, I just feel the line movement, I don't know, it doesn't mean as much to me.
No, I'm the same way, where, I mean, you see it in baseball. I think sometimes you just see pure value plays in baseball, because there's so many games, and so someone or a sharp bet, or maybe it's the public, say, hey, this is good plus money on this team, and it's not necessarily because there's a matchup or something going on that would necessitate the movement. Because baseball, we see, I mean, there'll be nights, it happened a couple nights ago, where it was just the dogs had it. A ton of money line dogs won. And so because of that, sometimes it's just pure value. That's not necessarily the case when it comes to college football. And also, when you're talking about these games, there's injury reports that leak out, or maybe how someone looked in practice, or, you know, the line will go back and forth. The movement, even Texas and Ohio State, that number keeps vacillating sort of between anywhere between 3 and 1.5, and it's been moving for weeks because this line's been on the board. Same thing for some of these games, where when you have a week between games as opposed to 24 hours, then naturally there's just going to be a lot of yin and yang, and you have to decide if it means something or not.
Yeah, and it's especially tough this time of year for college football, because they've been talking about this on local radio, how they have not released depth charts. And even some of these teams have not announced starting quarterbacks. They're using it as a competitive advantage, and I get it. But as a better, it's not like the best feeling. You're like, wait, I don't know who's going to play.
Are you actually going to bet on football today?
Today, no. Because, like, Jenks, the only bet that I would make would be taking ECU plus 14. Would Like, that's the thing. Like, I know better because I've watched NC State play ECU, and they always play us closely, no matter what the year is, no matter how good our quarterback is. So I understand these people. Because, like, you've heard, like, the season previews. How many years have people come on here and been like, NC State's the dark horse team to win the ACC? Do they win the ACC? No, they're very mid. And, in fact, last year, what did they win? Six games? So, like, I'm tired of people, like, being like, NC State's the team to trust this year. I'll believe it when I see it. So, no, I'm not laying 14 with NC State. All right, so let's switch it a little bit. I know I'm being super negative.
No, I said that last year. I was the one who was like, I like NC State. Well, didn't work out for me.
You weren't alone.
I know. There were a lot of people. Yeah, a lot of people liked NC State last year, and I was one of them. Sorry.
Yeah, those people do not go to NC State and know the lore between like NC State and the hype is never worth it. All right, so, Jenks, I did find a couple games that I like today. It is a smaller slate because it is a Thursday. But listen, if you're doing a baseball parlay, head over to BetMGM and swing big on your next MLB parlay. Use this parlay boost token to score a bigger payout if your baseball parlay hits, only at BetMGM. All right, let's start off the top here with the 105 Eastern game, Red Sox and Orioles. I was waiting for this line to come out, and I was wondering what we were going to get because right now, Garrett Crochet, I know everybody talks about how good Tarik Skubal has been, but the odds are shortening for Garrett Crochet to win the Cy Young in the American League. Right now, he's even money, very close to what we see for Tarik Skubal, who we think is minus 120. Crochet, 14-5 this year with a 2.38 ERA. Also, what Aroldis Chapman has been doing out of the bullpen for the Red Sox has been incredible this year. So the Red Sox are minus 190. And I know it sounds steep, but I feel like this is a big mismatch. Cade Povich is going for the Orioles today. He's 2-7 with a 5.13 ERA. I know the Orioles have been winning a couple games as of late, but Jenks, I really like the Red Sox today. I think I'm going to take them on the run line.
I absolutely am taking the Red Sox on the run line. This is one of my favorite bets on the card. I think I'm going to go with the big card today. Why not? What have I got to lose except more games this week?
Money.
But, yeah, except more money. But, I love this play. And I wish, of course, we wish we could get it on the money line. I'm not going to play that. But, yeah, Red Sox on the run line, you can maybe find it at plus money. At BetMGM, it's minus 105. But, man, Cade Povich has been really bad in Baltimore. He's 1-4, 6.22 ERA. And you talk about Aroldis Chapman. I mean, he's been unbelievable, completely untouchable. And then bullpen-wise for the O's, they have the third-worst ERA in the American League. Also, Boston has won 6 of 7. The Orioles have lost 6 of 7, I think. So, yeah, Boston, run line, definitely on the card.
Yeah, and that's actually a team that needs to be winning games right now. Not that anybody like ever says, well, you don't need to win games. But the AL East has suddenly gotten a lot tighter. Like, the Blue Jays have a four-game lead over the Red Sox. So, obviously, the Red Sox could catch the Blue Jays for the title in the American League East. The Yankees are 4.5 games back, so that's going to be a tight race down the stretch. And the Red Sox, like you said, have been winning games lately, so I'm going to be on the Red Sox today. All right, let me try to guess some of your other plays.
Okay.
I'm going to go with this one. I bet you're going to do Cubs-Giants under. I know it's 7. If I'm thinking correctly, if we could find an 8 or a 7.5 for a decent number, man, I bet you go there. But, Jenks, is this on the card for you?
It's about to be. I mean, I did handicap it yesterday, and I was hoping to get 7 and a hook. Right now it's sitting at 7. But it's juiced to the over, though. So minus 120 to the over. So we can definitely find 7.5 and go under. But I don't know how you don't. Like, Shota versus Logan Webb. Don't we always bet on Logan Webb when he's pitching out in San Francisco? Feels like the right side. When he's out by the base, 6-3, an ERA of 2.77. Shota has allowed 2 runs or less in 3 of his last 4. 4 of those games, all 4 of those games, a total of 6 runs or fewer. So I know the Cubs are a really good hitting team, But the Giants, when playing at home this season, the third best under team in baseball. I think you just talked me into it. Yeah, I'm going to go under. Under 7.5. I'm going to look for a 7.5 and find it. And I'm going to do it. What about you?
Okay, let me try to sell you on this. Okay. Because tell me if you like the full game. First five, you can find under 4 for minus 155.
Oh, let's do that. Done. That's all you had to say. Right there.
That, or you could do first 7. Because sometimes I do first 7 if I think the starter can go more than 5. Because first 7 is under 5.5, and that's minus 125. So if you don't like laying minus 155, sometimes that is an option. So let's take a little look-see into Logan Webb and see if we can make a case here. He's gone more than 5 in each of the last 3 starts. He even went 7 against Tampa Bay. But I will say this, the Cubs are a good offense on paper.
Yeah.
I think some of this, it will be a little bit more difficult just because San Francisco is such a pitcher-friendly park that I think that maybe cancels it out a bit. But you're right, Logan Webb at home, even so over the last few years, like it's not even just this season, it's the last few seasons. And people forget, Logan Webb was once a Cy Young candidate. He has been one of the most consistent pitchers in all of baseball, ERA under 3 at home. So I think any way you slice it, you find a way to play an under. First 5, under 4, minus 155. Yeah. For 7, under 5.5 for minus 125. Or, you know, you just play the full game, but just know you will have to ride it out with the bullpen arms.
You should see the juice on this card. That sounds something like I shouldn't say. But
see an HR.
You should see the juice on this card. All right, sir. How about you move away from me? I'm whatever. You know, well, I do. Don't do what I'm doing, which is when you're having a subpar week, do not chase. I am chasing. I'm just going to look for some dubs today. I don't care. I'm going to have some fun. It's college football season, so I'm adding that to the card. It wasn't on the card, but now it is. Cubs, Giants, first 5, under 5, or under 4, minus 155. Yes, yes, I'm on it.
Okay, so now I feel like I don't know you as well as I thought, because I thought for sure that would be one of your plays. So what else is making the card for you?
Well, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to search around, and it's going to be around minus, oh, it's right there on the edge. I like the Brewers again. I get to Diamondbacks. I'm trying to find a decent money line price. It's at minus 167. I might just do it. But here's the thing. You've got Jose Quintana going up against a guy I've never heard of. Nabil Crispat. Have you ever heard of this pitcher for Arizona? I have not.
I think he's a bullpen guy.
He's a journeyman. He's been around. Yeah, he's a bullpen guy. So he's probably not going to go long, and Arizona has a terrible bullpen. So this is his second stint with Arizona. I learned all of this yesterday. So he's kind of bounced around the majors, and he's been good in 2 starts. But look, you've got a Milwaukee team coming off, you know, a loss yesterday, a 3-2 loss. So I like this as a bounce-back spot. Also, they're 45-23 at home. Jose Quintana has allowed 2 runs or less in 5 of his last 6. So I think I'm going to play the Brewers today. I like the Brewers on the run line. That's how you should probably play this. I might play them on the money line, but I'm definitely on Milwaukee today.
I wonder if we could just play the Brewers like every game of the season from here on out. Yeah. Like, listen, we're just going to talk about college football and add the Brewers to the card every single time.
Right?
I bet we would end up winning. Right? And I understand the juice today is really high, but most days you get a pretty good price on the Brewers. So I feel like it's not a bad strategy. Like, we should track that for the rest of the season.
I mean, they've been awesome. And also, they've been undervalued for most of the season. You can talk me into anything today. But they have been undervalued. Like, what was it? Just a week or so ago, we were getting the Brewers at plus money. And now the Lions are finally coming around. I mean, I know they're facing Arizona. But finally, it's like, oh, yeah, this is the best team in baseball. But when you don't have a marquee name attached to that record, like Yankees, Dodgers, or whatever, you end up not having to pay a premium. And sometimes that's, you know, that's something that works to your advantage.
Yeah. I don't understand how you're having a big card today. Like, I'm looking at these games. I'm like, what is standing out to him? Like, the Rockies and the Astros. Like, obviously, it should be the Astros. But need I remind you that the Rockies have been winning some games?
No.
And, like, the other day, Hunter Brown was pitching. Like, a Cy Young candidate for the Astros. The Astros were, like, minus 330, and the Rockies won. So, like, they're kryptonite for me right now. We're not playing them. The Pirates have been winning games. So I don't know, Jenks. Like I will say this: like your Marlins Braves pick yesterday that God. We deliberated back. Of course, that was an easy win on the over.
Of course.
What else? Like I'm really befuddled on what else you made on the card today. Like what else are you playing? I'm really interested.
Braves Phillies over 9. It's set at 9.5.
Okay.
I'm gonna play it down to 9. Cal Quantrill and Aaron Nola. Like Cal Quantrill has not been good, and Aaron Nola has been really bad. Like obviously he's got good stuff, but we haven't seen it. He's been terrible. 21 earned runs over his last 17 innings, and Philly's back at home, so you know that's when their bats heat up. They just don't hit on the road, but when they get back to Philly, they hit. So I'm going over 9 there.
Yeah, Aaron Nola's been hurt, so I think this is his first start back. We'll see what happens.
Yeah.
But the Phillies just got embarrassed by the Mets. All right, coming up next, we got more of the Daily Tip after the break. All right, hour 2 rolls on here on the show. And we have continued our draft series because we have one last topic we want to slide in before football season starts. It is the most passionate fan bases, college or pro, because I feel like this is one of those topics that really gets under people's skins. Everybody thinks their team has the best fan base. But listen, some of you are just wrong. So maybe you'll be mad after this segment. But the reason that I was thinking of this topic is that obviously Taylor Swift has been all over the news this week for her engagement to Travis Kelce. But Jenks and I were just saying, I don't think there is a sports fan base that it is rabid and delusional as Taylor Swift fans. Like, it's crazy to me. Like, not even the biggest sports teams in the world like have more of a following and a, I don't want to say like a sheep mindset, but it feels like if Taylor Swift was like, listen, poop on your face is the new biggest thing. Everybody's doing it. Her fans would do it in a heartbeat. They would.
Yes. They'll do anything she says. Like I saw a TikTok yesterday where it was advice for guys talking to their wives, partners, whatever, who are Taylor Swift fans, and this guy was like, here's what you do. You say something like, oh my God, I'm so happy for her. Also, he is so lucky. Say that. He's the lucky one because he got Taylor. He was like giving you a point-by-point instruction script on how to handle it. Right. Yeah, it's exactly the way it was. Mm-hmm. And I'm like, he's not wrong about that. Like, she is, for her fans, it's just so strange to me. She is above reproach. Like, you cannot criticize her, or it's taken as a personal affront. It's interesting.
Yeah. Like, it's similar to, like, some SEC fan bases that, like, you'd think that they were in the running for a national championship every single year. And you're like, what's in Kentucky? It's just, it's not going to happen for you guys this year. Like, especially, like, the teams in the old SEC West. Like, LSU always thinks that, like, but they at least have some, like, historical background there.
Right.
Mississippi State. Like, I feel like Nick Saban pretty much ruined, like, the SEC West. Because every year people are like, well, you can't beat Alabama. Nobody can beat Alabama when Nick Saban is in his prime. So I feel like he made a lot of heads roll for that reason. All right, so let's get to it. It is our summer draft series, and we are drafting the best fan bases across the globe.
Welcome to the 2025 Daily Tip Draft.
All right, so I get the first pick overall, and I feel like I had to pick something that I have seen firsthand. And I think when you talk about fan bases, especially in college sports, it's the ones that don't have pro sports teams. So as somebody who lived in the state of Alabama and covered, you know, local sports there, I'm going to go with the Alabama Crimson Tide. Nobody is more delusional than this fan base. In fact, we had a story every other week on the news about people who are naming their babies after either Nick Saban, the phrase Roll Tide. There were kids named Allie Bama. First name Allie, middle name Bama. What are we doing? Like, this is a religion in the South, and Alabama right now is ruling the roost. So I'm going to go Alabama, number one overall. All right, it looks like which Double D is going second? Is it you, David? Because we have two Double Ds.
It's me.
It's a nickname.
Yeah.
It's literally my nickname.
I know, but
his is
D-Day. David Dykstra.
He goes by D-Day, though. All right, with the second pick. I wonder where I could... Oh, I'm going to Happy Valley, ladies and gentlemen. Penn State fans are insanely passionate about their football team. It doesn't matter who they play. 107,000 people will show up to a little town called State College in Happy Valley to watch this team. And if they're away, they travel pretty much like no other team in college football as well. So I'm going with Penn State.
A shock to us all. David is a huge Penn State fan. All right, Jenks, are you going with Texas?
Yes. You know what? you don't need to even say the pick, is it? Yes, I am. Here's a quick little aside. And Texas fans are everywhere here in D.C., which I love. Like, in the entire Penn Quarter Sports Tower. Tavern. Oh, that's right. It's all. It's absolutely all booked up for the weekend. Here's a quick story. Last week, I was in a bar with the lovely Catherine. She goes to the bathroom, right? And there's these two cute girls just to the left. I got a seat for Catherine reserved. I pull out my debit card, which says Texas X's on it, just to give it to the bartender. And the girl goes, hey, how come I'm going to Columbus next week? I was like, you are? Oh, my God. So we're all talking, and Catherine comes back, and she's like, I've been gone 5 minutes. What in the world? I was like, sorry, honey. You know, when these Texas fans get to talking and we get excited about football, I mean, that was, you know, just pull out a card. Next thing you know, we're talking about beating Ohio State. Yes, University of Texas, number one.
I will say Matthew McConaughey as like a spokesperson is pretty cool. I am jealous of that. All right, Den, you're next. Are you going with like a homer team? Please tell me you're not taking the Commanders.
No, my draft board is on fire right now. I'm taking, with the final pick of the first round, I'm taking LSU. They are nuts. You want to talk about a religion, Chelsea? These dudes go to Omaha during the spring to just drink Jello shots at a pizzeria that I've been told isn't even that good. They just drink a lot. So I'm taking LSU. They are a nuts group of human beings. And then I'm turning around for the snake draft for the number one pick of round number two. I'm going to the NFL. I'm taking Bills Mafia. I'd love to have the draft just fall into me right now.
God, that was my next one. Such a good one.
Yeah, that's a good one.
That's a really good one.
All right, who's next? Jenks, you're next.
Am I next? God, man, those were two on my list. Just
blowing up other people's
minds. I just blew. Oh, man. You know what I'm going to go with? I can't stand the team, but I'm going to go with the Cleveland Browns fans because, by God, they suffer and they suffer and they suffer. But Browns fans just stick with their team. They hate themselves for it. But the dog pound is full and they just keep showing up. New quarterback every single year. Their organization just keeps throwing them into the gutter, but they keep coming back. So I have a lot of respect for sticking with your team, even through, God, years and years and years of tough times. So I'm going Browns fans.
I feel like Cleveland is low-key a great sports city. Like, the way that they filled out the streets for that Cavaliers victory parade,
yeah,
it's like one of the best sports moments. All right, David, you're next.
All right, Jenks isn't going to like this, but we talk about it all the time. It's a cult. Ladies and gentlemen, it's a cult. Texas A&M, by far, is one of the most ravenous. They join a cult to learn how to do hand gestures.
It's true.
I mean, it's ridiculous. So it's Texas A&M for me.
That's true.
So much beige. I don't get it.
So many pantsuits. So many male cheerleaders.
So many pantsuits.
Yes. All right. So I suppose I am next. And if we're going with passionate fan bases, like, think of a stadium that you wouldn't want to go to as an opposing fan. I feel like the Philadelphia Eagles, they have one of the best home field advantages in all of football because those people are a different breed. Like, I feel like it can say that. Like, you've heard the stories from, like, Eli Manning where it's, like, three-year-olds that are flipping him off. So I'm going to go Birds. I'm going to go Eagles here. And then next up, since I have the next pick as well, this one's kind of off the radar for me because I don't follow soccer, but if we are talking about best fan bases in the world, I'm going to go Real Madrid. They have 177 million followers on Instagram. And listen, I know that soccer is not the real football here in the States, but people like it, I suppose. So I'm going to go Real Madrid is my next pick. I know that's not a popular one. All right, Jenks. Or no, it's David who's next.
All right, I'm going to go a little off the board here and go Virginia Tech.
Okay.
If you've ever been to Virginia Tech and seeing that team run out of the tunnel to begin the game, it is a different thing to witness. So I'm going to go Virginia Tech here.
That's how those games usually end.
Yeah, not great. Not great, but I mean, at least they're there, which says a lot about the fan base.
Okay.
All right. Thanks.
I'll say it. The pick is in, Double D. The pick is in. I know some of these fans personally, and they absolutely fit the reputation, which is Packers fans. I mean, Green Bay fans are... Green Bay is the Packers, right? It's a small community. They own shares of the team. It's the only game in town. They have a storied history. Packers fans love their Packers. So I'm going Green Bay.
Packers. The Packers. All right, then. Who's next?
I am just thrilled with this.
God, that's another good one.
I thought he was going to take mine, and he did not. I am going Big Red Nebraska, the Cornhuskers. That is a fan base that is desperate for a winner. They have stayed with their team. And, oh, by the way, they could pack 80,000 people in the football stadium to watch a volleyball game. It's the most unheard of thing I've ever seen, but they did it. So I'm taking Nebraska for my third pick. The fourth pick is where I was starting to kind of lose it a little bit. I was like, where do I want to go? Where do I want to go? I'm going to go in the direction of hockey. No one's taking a hockey team. I'm going the Montreal Canadiens. The Habs, it was a religion when they were still in the postseason, so I'm going the Canadiens.
Yeah, that's good.
All right. Jenks, looks like you have one final pick.
All right. I was sticking to college and pro football, so in that vein, I thought Nebraska was sneaky great. Denton is just, like, taking my soul during this draft.
Crushing it.
Yeah, you really are crushing it. I'm going to go Steelers fans. I mean, everywhere you go, you see those terrible towels. And they travel. They're super passionate. They're super knowledgeable. Hell, when Steelers came here last year, Andrew, our boss, sent me a picture from Northwest Stadium. Like, we're here. And they were. They're everywhere. They travel. They're great fans. So, Steelers it is.
That's a good one. I feel like that's like one of the original teams, and they travel really well.
Yeah.
Double D, who is your last pick?
All right, for my last pick, and I can't believe this one made it this far. I'm going with the most unhinged professional football fan base in the world, the Raiders. They're insane.
Oh,
they put on makeup. They wear spiked shoulder pads. Insanity, pure insanity. Raiders.
Speaking of spiked shoulder pads, that's who I'm going for my next one. Have you seen those boys who dress up at Georgia games? I'm going to go with the University of Georgia. Any fan base that includes barking as part of their pregame ritual, that's a lot for me. So I'm going to go with the Dogs of University of Georgia. And that's going to do it for our draft. All right, coming up next, it's hour three of the show. And we start off with Heather Dinich, National College Football Reporter for ESPN. We got a lot of questions for her. It's next on The Daily Tip.